Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
We have Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News on the line right now. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Mike, thanks for being flexible with your time and spending a few minutes with us. We know you're busy because it's a big story, and many people want to talk to you about your excellent column that you wrote at Sporting News, sportingnews.com. You can follow Mike on Twitter, at TSN Mike. And the headline reads, if the NCAA had never taken on Ed O'Bannon, it might not have been dunked on so furiously by the Supreme Court. We've only got you for a few minutes, so give us your thoughts on this decision and what it means, please, sir.
Yeah, well, I think that what it means is that the NCAA overplayed their hand, and this has been true of a large number of their legal cases for a number of years. Going back, I think that people who've been around might remember that in the mid-'80s, I think it was 85, they lost a case, the NCAA lost a case that basically released the rights to college football telecasts to all the member schools, and that the NCAA didn't control it as they had previous to that. And it really obviously has changed the landscape immensely in the way college sports are televised. And from that on, they've been on a pretty doggone vicious losing streak, including the restricted earnings cases in the early 90s when they had a class of basketball coaches whose earnings were capped at $12,000 a year. Those people sued and got a significant settlement. And then most recently, we had the O'Bannon case in 2014. NCAA lost badly there. And now this, what's referred to as the Alston case, this one was the one that, of all of them, was the one that was most puzzling why the NCAA pushed back. For one, what was being asked for was the opportunity to compensate athletes with more education, so to speak. And now, whether that involved actual class, like a grad school payments or something like that, or whether it involved being able to offer a laptop computer to an athlete who might need one, those kinds of things. And why the NCAA would fight that, I don't know. And when they lost it in district court, I believe it was district court, when they lost it at that level, why they pushed to go to the Supreme Court, I really don't get it. Because they got handled at the Supreme Court level, and it could damage the future of the organization. I'm not saying it will. A lot of people are saying it will. I don't know for sure. It certainly opens the door for damage to be done. They're going to have name, image, and likeness for the athletes sometime soon, maybe even within the next couple of weeks. And when that happens, I'm not sure what's left to sue for. But then again, I'm not a plaintiff's attorney. They can get pretty creative, so I can't say that there's nothing that they might not shoot for. And based on the court ruling yesterday, they might have a pretty good standing.
So what happens with college athletics going forward? I mean, where do you see this headed now?
Well, I think, as I said, name, image, and likeness will come soon.
Right.
And that actually will strengthen the college's position relative to competing for young athletes. If you can get name, image, and likeness payments, maybe the G League doesn't look so great to a prospective college athlete, because name, image, and likeness might be more valuable. And then you also get the education, and you also get the competition, the exposure, playing in the NCAA tournament. You get to get coached by Hall of Fame coaches like Calipari himself, rather than guys that maybe people haven't really heard that much of. And so I think that all of a sudden might open the door wider for college athletics. But again, it's the question of what does the Alston ruling lead to that might destabilize college athletics? I can't say for sure. I think that name, image, and likeness will solve a lot of problems, but yesterday's ruling might cause some more.
So what happens next in this story?
Well, what happens next is, first of all, if you're a college now, you can recruit using a lot more tools than you could have on Friday. If you want to tell a young person who wants to come to your school that if they don't have a laptop to help them with their classes, you can provide it for them now. There are schools, I know when my nephew went to Wake Forest for a year, at that time, and they probably still do, they gave every student a new laptop, every single one who went there. So that they were all using the same platforms and all that. But not all colleges do that, maybe not even many, I don't know. But now, if you're a prospective athlete and you could use that coming to college, they can do that for you. And so, if you want to say to a really smart young student athlete, male, female, whatever sport it is, that if they come to your school, compete for 4 years, graduate with good enough grades to get into whatever program you have. Maybe it's an MBA program or maybe it's law school. Who knows? You can say, we'll pay for it. You can do that if you want. As long as it's education-based, and there was one other item in there, up to $5,900, you can give awards for academic performance. I would assume that the academic performance would have to be legitimate, but you can give awards up to that. So there are various different things that colleges can do. Now, some won't be able to and some won't want to, but the question isn't whether you have to, it's that you're able to. And all the different ways that the NCAA members spend their money in order to remain nonprofit, I don't see that spending more on athletes is a bad thing.
So one of the things, as I read your article, that came down in this case, the NCAA is getting caught. It's costing them a lot of money here, right? And $208 million settlement for retroactive cost of attendance payments. Are the schools going to have to pay that? And after everything that's happened to them in the past year financially and everything, should we worry about the financial predicament that the NCAA and these schools will be in right now?
Nate, that settlement happened in 2017, I believe.
Okay.
So I believe that everybody who got that has been compensated at this point. I don't think that necessarily the current liability is a huge issue. I think it's future liability that's really the problem, and that's how much the opinion in the case and the concurring opinion by Justice Kavanaugh, which was really. Really excoriated the NCAA operations. I think it was a bit disingenuous in some ways, the opinion that he wrote, because it didn't, it talked about how the business model that the NCAA members follow could never stand in any other line, any other business, or most any other business is what he said. There are a lot of things that are required of NCAA members that aren't required of typical businesses. Some really stringent ones that cost a lot of money. And I'm not going to cite them because I'm not advocating against them. But they exist. And so I don't think that it's fair necessarily to compare them to a restaurant. Because there are things that restaurants don't have to do to satisfy other laws. That exist on the United States books. So I thought it was a bit disingenuous, but it also certainly was an open invitation to others who have grievances against NCAA members or the NCAA as an organization to go ahead and pursue those grievances through court.
Mike, we know you got to run. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
That's Mike DeCourcy, who made some time for us in his busy schedule. Always glad to talk to Mike DeCourcy. We'll have him on the show again soon, back after this on WHB.